In this week, on the 27th of July, 1989, warming up for their centenary season, an Allan Court goal was enough for the Dons to beat Swedish club Finnskoga. Apologies to all Finnskoga supporters for that pronunciation. 1-0 on the first match of a five-game Scandinavian tour. The tragic news of the death of Laurie Cunningham had cast a shadow over the summer, with Terry Gibson saying of his former teammate, "He wasn't just a good player, he was a tremendous guy. Some of the things he could do with the football were out of this world." We are the same old Wombles. We're back. Yes, welcome, dear listener, to another summer special. I don't know if this is a summer special or if we're now back into the season thing. It's tricky to know where exactly we are. Anyhow, I am delighted to welcome my friend, our keeper. Hello, Niall.
Hello, Matty.
Look at you basking in the glory of the new football regulator law.
I did quite well. Four and a
You've
half
done.
years hard work. We
Yeah.
have a Football Governance Act, not even a bill, an act.
An
It has passed. It has
actual.
got Royal Assent and it has got loads of nice fingerprints of Fair Game all over it, which is
Yeah.
glorious.
Excellent. And you celebrated with a pint of.
You know what happened with this, Matt. I tried because all of the people who listen may not know that I don't drink very much ever since a very bad experience of my 30th birthday, which we can go into at a different point. And that was a long time ago. I tried a bottle of Peroni because I thought it was appropriate to drink alcohol when you have a big moment like this. And it was, I suckled, couldn't really finish it. So while everybody else was buying all this kind of other stuff out of the car around me, I had a pint of orange juice and lemonade.
Yes, that's it. That's how to celebrate 4.5 years of hard work and getting a bill through Parliament. Anyhow,
Well, the revelation
someone.
football have changed the whole world of football, everything like that. I have a pint of orange juice and lemonade. I would
Someone.
have had an apple crumble, but I didn't order it.
Yeah. Someone who does know how to celebrate is our football guru, the man with all the knowledge, all the stats and info. It is Tall Mark Lewis. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Good afternoon. How are we all doing? I have several bones to pick with your introduction. Number one,
Whoa, whoa, whoa. We don't bone pick.
no,
That's not
number one,
that's not our
what?
raison d'être.
Number one, Mark's in fact not tall. Is that what he's about to say?
Yeah.
I think that's
No.
definitely.
Wait a second. Yes. What is it, my friend? Come on.
Well, it's
Let's
obviously
pick.
season three, episode one. Now, the fact that we're recording in July is not our fault. The fact that some complete and utter ignoramus from the Football League decided to A, start the Football League season on the first weekend in August, and B,
Ridiculous.
start the Football League season the very first day of August, which we are reluctant, whatever the word is,
Participants of.
participants in. Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. Then that's not our fault, but that's the way it is. So, but yeah, talking about football in July is kind of random. But then again, last season hasn't finished yet because the Lionesses are still playing. Or at least they will be playing on Sunday.
I think someone was saying that there is actually been some sort of competitive football now for almost 12 straight months, because you've gone from the end of the season, it seems to have gone straight into, you had that ridiculous competition in the States and then the brilliant Women Euros, which end on Sunday, and then you've got 5 days of no competition before the season starts again. So, in
What?
actual fact, the game, the Sunday's game, the Euros game, is kind of like the end of the 24-25 season. And the
Absolutely, yeah.
25-26 season starts on Friday.
Well, actually, it's probably already started because it's probably already been like, well, they have
Oh,
actually
yeah,
already
that's right. There's been
been
European games.
European
Yeah,
welcome
qualifiers.
games or
Yeah, yeah,
whatever.
yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
there have been.
qualifiers. Qualifiers. You're
But
right.
what I particularly like is that obviously a lot of, I mean, Niall clearly did lots of hard work relating to the Football Governance Act. But so did loads of other people as well. So unfortunately, much as we love him, we can't let him take all the credit.
Oh, I think that's. You could see his face. He's that close to storming off. That's not my understanding. I mean, having spoken to my brother quite a lot, my understanding is that he did it all. So, anyhow,
Football fans are never knowingly understated, are they? So.
no. Anyhow, we're here. Niall, Mark, and myself, Matt Cooper. Unfortunately, today we're not joined by the man with the buttons, Adam Proctor. So we can only hope that this is all being recorded all right, and Adam will be able to edit it.
Well, we need to leave Adam some airtime next week to be able to make complaints about the fact that the sizes and the new shirts have changed.
Oh yeah, they'll be yeah. And actually, we're obviously in a WhatsApp group with Adam, where he likes to share bits and bobs of information with us. One of which was the tracking of the DHL delivery of his new shirt to his house. There's nothing to say about that. It's just how he is.
Vitamin,
Anyhow,
you know.
so we're kicking on. How are we faring up? I mean, I think for me, what's interesting is, we've got some new players in, but Mark, I'm going to come to you first on this. At the moment, would you say we have an improved squad on what we ended the season with? Is
No.
our squad better?
No, in simple terms, it's
No.
not
No.
because the two players that we lost, specific first team players that we lost, were Tilly and Nerfil, and we are wedded, so wedded, and having seen the one preseason game against Millwall the other night, I can tell you we're still wedded to playing 3-5-2, that wing backs are absolutely integral to the way we do things. And having lost those two players and not replaced them with like for like, or even actually replace them at all, to be completely honest, then until we do that, then we're not really in the right position squad wise. I mean, the interesting thing from my perspective is I've had the squad photo for on the playoff final on my screensaver ever since the game, basically, because it was a lovely thing to have. But very easily, what it enables me to do is go through that squad thing and say, okay, so who's not here anymore? And then you can analyze, okay, so who have we got to replace them? And actually, what position does that put you me in? And looking at this now, I can see front row, James Ball, Josh Nerfil, Hasbilla, James Tilley, Owen Goodman. And then second row, Joe Piggott. James Furlong, Jonjo O'Toole, Lewis Ward, and Morgan Williams, and Ryan McLean are the ones that have left.
Yeah.
And obviously, not all of those players played a significant role, a very significant role last year in the squad. But a number of those did play double-figure games. I mean, at one point, James Ball was basically holding the whole of our three-man defence together, even though he's not a defensive, he's not a central back. So my question in that regard is, in a 46-match season or whatever league you're in, you have to have 16, 17 minimum strong, durable first-team players that you can rely on. And at the moment, we haven't got that. Forget the positions for a minute, but we haven't got that actual bulk of
No.
squad. And when I looked at the options that we had from the start and coming off the bench on Tuesday night, and it was just a pre-season friendly, but you know they're not there.
And what was, I mean, like, there's so many things that were interesting about that pre-season friendly, not least that Lee Brown made an appearance, which is just like, just because he's been retired for a year. I mean, that is some comeback if he is indeed coming back, or if he was, I can't, I was assuming that for a pre-season friendly, you wouldn't just put him in just for the hell of it, just for his health, that
Well,
there's
there's been
reason.
rumours of who's playing and who's training the squad. Niall has a little bit more insider knowledge in that regard, but people have been on trial but haven't actually played yet. There's a guy that played on Tuesday night, but and also played at the away game at Sutton, who is also on trial, but hasn't officially been signed or not, and did actually look like someone who could play right wing back. And then the Lee Brown thing seemed like an urban myth, with such stuff going around on social media, until you get to half time and look out on the subs warming up and think, well, that he obviously is Lee Brown. And to be fair, did he look any better or any worse than anyone else wearing a yellow and blue shirt? No. Did he look match fit? No. Do we know he can do a job? Yes, but he was not really the strongest part of our League Two squad, and that was over a year ago. And we're playing at a high level. And what Millwall did, and Millwall are a top level championship team, we've got to remember that before we all fall on our swords and get very depressed. But what Millwall did very quickly and very easily is cut us open and show a lot of pace. And what we didn't do without the injured Joe Lewis was show really any particular ability to stay with the forward runs of that particular team. And I wonder how many times we'll see that this season.
Yeah, it's going to be. I mean, I think it is going to be a. It's going to be challenging. I mean, I'm not sure. Despite what people think, we are kind of unofficial as a podcast. So I think, can we throw in some ideas about people who we know that? Because it's the guy who came on his right and played at wing back. He's from Chelsea, I believe, or he was one of the. He was like, obviously Chelsea own, half the population of West London, so. But I think he's come through the Chelsea ranks, hasn't he? And there is a big talk, and again, whether we can say this or whatever, but there is talk of a former Forest Middlesbrough striker training with us. I understand, R. Cooper.
I just had some particular sources, and this is a weird one because where that source comes from is so totally rando that nobody would ever like guess that. And for that reason, I can't actually reveal that because this person would potentially get into trouble if I was to reveal where this source came from. How cool is that? So I can't. But yeah, that particular person. Did was involved in a behind the scenes close season friendly, and that's where I know from. So it is
Oh
an
right,
interesting prospect.
but they have played in a match behind closed doors.
Yes.
Okay, but it's interesting to know why if we are looking at them, obviously whether they've been signed or not, and if they haven't been signed, why not? Is it to do with fitness? It's going to be interesting, but we certainly need, I would say, at
Apparently, they did look like they had the good touch, and they looked like they still had the ability to do something.
There you go. But with.
But they haven't signed yet, or they're not going to sign.
I
Haven't
don't
signed.
know. I'm just telling you my intel from that one game. That's all I have.
And well, thank you, Niall. That's great. See, there we are. We're full of half exclusives. But it's a very. I mean, it does seem like it's quite. I mean, it's very difficult. And it feels like we definitely need at least another three players. So that's, a couple of wing backs and a striker. Those are areas that we definitely need.
Yeah, right now, I am feeling seriously unoptimistic for this season coming. On the same WhatsApp group, I was struggling to find, I'd mentioned, I've seen a lot of predictions from a load of different people about what League One's going to look like. And I don't recall seeing any that had us above finishing 23rd. And I'm kind of feeling that at the moment because we simply haven't added. I mean, at the end of last season, and I was thinking, right, we're going to lose Hilly, we're going to lose Nerfville. And I look at it and go, right, Steve Seddon's a good addition. I also then said, having Hippolyte and Harbottle properly around for the whole season is actually probably another good capture. We never thought we'd keep, I didn't expect to keep Brown. So there's elements of positivity there. But the point was that was like the start, and I was hoping for a little bit, well, a hell of a lot more, and we haven't got it. And I'm now feeling like we are a week away from our first game of the season, and we're going to be playing Luton, who are the highest ranked team in League One next season. away, and we've done nothing, and we are the lowest ranked team in League One. And I know I'm going, but I'm quite friendly with a lot of Luton Town supporters and stuff like that because of Fair Game and so on. And I have WhatsApped a few of them. We've had a few conversations. It's been like, can you please not thrash us out of sight? That would be nice. Just don't completely hammer us and demoralise us massively in our first game. I've not got very much expectation. I don't think, even with the inclusion of Steve Seddon, that we're going to see a last minute equaliser. That for me feels like we're a little bit a million miles away from that. I don't know whether anybody else has got any more elements of optimism, because I think I could
Well,
really do with some.
we'll get on to some optimism. I mean, I think the issue we've got, and this was in JJ's interview after the Millwall game, he sounds very frustrated, but it feels like we're looking at the loan market, and because the Championship starts a week after us and the Premier League starts 2 weeks after us, what it means is that we're waiting for those squads to sort of balance themselves out before people can go out on loan. So we've probably got a few ideas about people we'd like to get in on loan, and that's where I sense we're going to get at least a couple of players from, if not more. But we won't be able to do our business until, towards the end of August. I don't. That's my sense. So we just hope by that time it's not going to be, too late, and we're already missing things. I mean, I'm assuming that those going to the Luton game, you're going to be watching a very defensively minded team set up and look to maybe hit on the break. So, what would it be? 5-5-4-1 sort of thing, with possibly Kelly starting for his pace.
I think it's going to have to be
Well, to
something
be
like that.
honest, I mean, again, we've only had the one home game, and there's been relatively little promotion and general publicity overall since the tour in Spain, which in itself sounded all right, and the draw with the non-league team, with the non-league team, with the well, the
How
Cypriot
dare
team.
you? The champions of Cyprus,
Yeah,
yes.
so that all looked good on the face of it
Yeah.
overall. Obviously, since then, there's been a few interviews that were done out there, which came out on the official club podcast, which the official club didn't actually promote themselves until somebody else picked it up anyway, because it dropped in their own feed, which is all a little bizarre. So the problem is with any club, when there's a positive vibe, you want to keep the positive vibe running. If there isn't a positive vibe, something will fill the vacuum. Supporters with this ongoing football season, as we mentioned,
Yeah.
will definitely want to keep the vibe going. And if they don't keep the vibe going, then they'll instantly fill the vacuum with doom and gloom. And we haven't really, as a club, given them anything to do otherwise or to think otherwise, frankly. So, the team that played Millwall, the first time we'd seen them, full stop, Millwall were given all of the usual away end and a little bit more of the East End as well. So they probably brought over well over 1,000, but there was over 4,000 there, which is a really great sign, and a good sign actually that fans themselves are enthusiastic about seeing their own team in yellow and blue. And bless Matt and the guys and the gals in the club shop, because the club shop was looking like, Sainsbury's at about 10 to 10 on a midweek evening, i.e. absolutely nothing on the shelves, because things were flying off and people were buying all different types of shirts of all different sizes and shapes and so on. As quickly as Matt could get anything out of packets, they were being tried on and then bought. Long sleeve as well. Apparently long sleeves are more expensive than short sleeves for whatever reason.
Lot more material in your long sleeve.
Yeah, which is fair enough.
I mean, I think that is there are positive things. There are positive things are out there. Okay, I just want to highlight three. One, the shop, the sales from the shop, fantastic. Two, I think we've got almost 6,000 season tickets. So I think it's well over 5,500 season tickets, which is incredible for us. I mean, like that's going to mean getting tickets on the day is going to be more and more difficult. Because you're going to expect, 1,000 people, 1,000 away supporters virtually every game. So you'll be looking at 8,000 set out every home game, which is brilliant considering it's almost double the size of what King's Meadow was. So that is a real plus. And there was something else which is a real plus as well, but I've forgotten it at the moment. But it's things. It is. These are. It's like, oh, John Green's investment. John Green and Across the Pond's investment in the club is great news. So I think what's that over a million, maybe near a million and a half. So that's fantastic. And I know we got information from about the bonds recently. So some of the bonds are being written off. The We Are Wimbledon Fund, which has just got going, has raised over £8,000 already, which is fantastic. And I think that people can now donate to that on a monthly basis. You know, like you can set up a direct debit. So that's all going well. And I think the other thing, which is really important, I think this is where club comms need to be made better, is it really is about if you can donate, donate. If you can't, don't. You know, that people are always saying that we're always asking for money for one thing or another. And the reason we can do that is, well, A, we're the owners, so it's not coming from anywhere else. We're in an affluent-ish area, so there is more disposable income from amongst some of our supporters. But realization that there's a lot of people who can't afford it. And those people don't have to feel pressured to put money into anything. Really don't. But, you know, there are other people out there who can afford it. And I think it's unfortunate. I think there needs to be timing about when people are asking for money, because it does seem like that is the comms that's coming out over the sea, over the, you know, that pre-season. Comms is about money. And I saw there was something else about bringing the Amateur Cup home, which would be fantastic. It costs about £4,000 to produce a replica. Again, though, over 2,300 has already been raised for that. That's fantastic, and I know that was one of the wish of Mick Pugh, later of this chapter. I mean, he's a fantastic man, and it'd be great to do that. But it is just that constantly, you know, we need to get money from here, we need to get money from there, and I think that the message that sends out is that, you know, we're not sustainable. And if you keep sending that funding message out all the time, people start to worry about, you know, how sustainable we are. And the argument against that is that, you know, there's a load of clubs below us in the league and non-league who would love to be in the position we're in, and we're here. I mean, Carlisle would be the prime example of that. Everyone, you know, the amount of money that they had, and they got relegated. So there is always something about being fan owned. And you know this, if you're listening to this and you do not like fan ownership, you're listening to the wrong podcast. Yeah. Anyhow, but there are some positive things in there now.
I was trying to pick them out. There were some. Yeah, John Green, definitely positive. You know, and that sort of direction of travel and stuff like that. You know, and I'd love the Amateur Cup to be back home as well. All of those sort of things would be really good. You know, and actually, it's quite nice having just being back on the ground. You know, I love Plough Lane, so you know that is going to be good. I have to miss the first home game of the season because I'm away, but. You know, going up to Luton will be good with the guys, you know, trying to be that and going to the Kenilworth Road end and then being there when we all commiserate ourselves. The food there is shocking at Luton, just to put it out there. So definitely get food beforehand. But, you know.
It almost feels to me like back to the inverted commas good old days under Kinnear and others before him, in that we're going into a season being completely written off, certainly externally and possibly internally as well. I suspect I haven't seen any of them, but whatever different types of pre-season reviews, Matt mentioned some online. Obviously, there'll be your 442s and when Saturday comes and so on and so forth, which will be printed, no doubt, or very shortly to be on the newsstands in old parlance. And they'll all predict that we'll be in the bottom four. We also know how things were when we were in League One previously, and I'm sure the League One we're going into is rather different to the League One that we came out of. Looking at some of the teams who got relegated in recent years, and a little bit of research I was doing for the pod today, you can see that, you know, there are a number of people like Morecambe, for example, in League One, going back a few years, who obviously are no longer at that particular level. But I suspect we're going into the season with everybody writing us off, And if that in itself, maybe this is a naive feeling on my part, but if that in itself is good enough to be able to galvanize the supporter base, I remember the season when, what was it, 95, 96, I remember 96, 97, we lost the first three games of the season. And we were bottom of the table, having barely scored a point and had had a bunch of goals already conceded. And it was a very much a kind of them against us type thing. And we went on that seven deadly wins run, and everything turned out relatively well. I'm not saying we're going to do that kind of thing within League One, but generally speaking, if they've got the appropriate mentality, there are some good experienced players. Some of them, most of them haven't played in League One, but there are some good experienced players in that squad. You know, the likes of Reeves, the likes of Smith, the likes of Hutchinson, the likes of Johnson and Lewis at the back, obviously.
And Seddon's
We're
got
not completely
experience.
kids, because the last time we got relegated, we generally speaking, in that 20 whatever it was match run where we lost virtually every game, that was Robbo's kids, and that really was a failed experiment.
I suppose that's the reality is there are people there that have been there, done that, that have got that level of experience to kind of grind things out. You know, you are right to pick out. You look at Lewis, Reeves, Hutchinson as being those type of players that have got that ability to kind of go, right, well, I know how to, you know, make sure this team doesn't lose. And remember, we were last season quite hard to beat. And if you looked at Tilly and Nerfield, it's the players, the key big players that we lost, they weren't exactly defensively minded. So, you know, if we're going to be even more defensively set up, and Steve Seddon is definitely of that ilk. So, you know, that if I'm trying to be positive, then maybe that's the way to go, that we're going to be difficult to beat. I'm still struggling to see how we're going to score a goal, but, you know, maybe that's where our lone strikers all suddenly appear this week. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I like I say, my sense, my feeling might be that we might not get anyone else in before the start of the season, because we are just a week away from it. And then, I mean, obviously, what's going to happen now is I say this, and then there'll be something on the club will announce something just deliberately. But that'll be my sense, and so we'll look to strengthen the squad during August,
Yeah, I
but.
mean, the earlier we start, and we are literally starting as early as possible, as I said, more actually, the month of August is a bizarre one, because we'll probably play five or six games during August. I haven't got a fixed list in front of me. Whilst we're still trying to forge the squad together. Although the benefit, obviously, of having re-signed all these players that we had with us last season or in previous seasons would be, and obviously, you Lee Brown, as peculiar an idea as that seems on the face of it, that would be another player who could slip straight back in again. And there are a number of players, obviously, that played with him previously, and management know him as well. And even if he's a kind of smash glass in case of emergencies type scenario, almost like Piggott turned out to be towards the end of last season, if it's an option that's not going to cost us a huge amount of money. And if there's an opportunity, for example, to sign him on a short-term deal up until Christmas at the latest, without it actually preventing us from affording somebody else, then I don't see that that's actually something that would be a foolish move, frankly. Who knows? By the time this thing goes out, he'll have slipped over and scored an own goal against Southend in a pre-season friendly and maybe looked like a complete chump again.
I mean, I think, dear listener, the idea of this podcast, we're going to talk about some things, you know, we're looking forward to in this season as well. And I think we're looking forward to not getting spanked every week would be a good thing. Being back at Plough Lane, and you know, some of the clubs we're going to face are going to be, it's going to be quite exciting. It's going to be a challenge, but it's going to be exciting as well. But no, is
Yeah.
there anything you're particularly looking forward to? I think
Yeah,
not.
I think generally speaking, look, we've earned the
Well,
right to
just
be
on the
Robbie.
side, which
Carry on now.
go on, I think he's.
was going to say, I mean, the thing is just to look at, you know, what away game we're going to go to next season. We haven't decided that. That's obviously one thing that's very, very exciting for all of us. You know, we're obviously going to the Luton game, but there must be our away trip. We haven't decided that.
Oh, he's...
I think that's about as exciting as it gets, really.
Well, hopefully not. But the thing is, again, talking about the days of yore when we take 400 or 500 up to Anfield or 400 or 500 up to Goodison or Old Trafford or whatever, that's going to be a similar scenario where, with the exception of someone like Reading, which is fairly early on and fairly close by, obviously, they're going to be some big long away trips to the likes of Wigan, the likes of Bolton, the likes of Huddersfield. You know, some big spending people in this league already. Massive spending compared to the resources that we have. We know that. There's no point in crying over that appropriate spilt milk. We'll just deal with that. And if it means that, you know, getting to achieve a point away at Cardiff or achieve a point away at Huddersfield or whatever it may be is actually a major achievement, then great. You know, I'm not massively sure because I haven't looked at their squads in depth, but I suspect really we'll probably be in a kind of league of six or seven possibly, with the likes of Northampton and the likes of Burton, potentially the likes of Rotherham, and it'll just be a case of not being the worst of those four, so to speak. Whether or not people have the resources, obviously Matt's already mentioned
Yeah.
Carlisle last season. There will be a similar examples here in League One as well.
Yeah.
You know, people will plunder a lot of money on a particular goal scorer or a particular loan signing from somewhere. I mean, interestingly enough, we didn't have too many loan signings last year, and the ones we did, in the likes of Piggott, really didn't actually turn out to be any good. But you would hope, playing in League One level or than League Two level, you'll attract a better quality of loanee.
Yeah. That is totally the hope, and you know, there's lots of London sides around us that we can hopefully borrow some. You know, Palace. I think something seems to have gone wrong with our relationship with Brentford. It does seem like we've got maybe possible relationship with Chelsea. I can assume they're Chelsea B team, but yeah, there you know there are positives. And I'm thinking, is there anyone, Mark? I know you were looking at this as well. Is there anyone you think that could be coming through our academy? Is there anyone, is there a breakthrough player? Because, you know, that's one of the things that we've had recently. You know, people like, you know, Radoni, Jack Curry, have come through. I mean, I know that Al Hamidi wasn't one of our, wasn't, you know, didn't come through our academy, but he was at least our player when we sold him on.
Yeah, I mean, quite potentially, we were spoilt by the likes of Radoni and Sal and
Yeah.
Curry coming through
Yeah.
relatively quickly. Obviously, Sal and Radoni played together, and then Curry relatively shortly after that. The current crop, there were hopes and prayers, obviously, to speak for Morgan Williams when he made his debut at Chelsea. But unfortunately, that star faded particularly quickly in the end of the season, not even able to get into a team in Non-League South. So that was inevitable. Unfortunately, he would be released. So your first year pros last year were Harry Sidwell, who is a box to box midfield player, as is Jennings, Kai Jennings, who is relatively small and I suspect probably will be lined up as the potential replacement as a metronomic midfield player to keep things ticking over if Reeves is not available or you know showing signs of age, so to speak. Again, whether either of those two will break through specifically, don't know. Because, but if we're playing three in midfield again, just like if you're playing three at the back, you need six, seven players available.
Yeah.
Those two would be interested in how they both go. They both had a chance to run out on Saturday. I think there were big hopes this time last year for Ethan Sutcliffe. He was on loan in a couple of non-league clubs and did relatively well. Unfortunately, last I saw of him, he was literally walking ahead of me down the main road in Earlsfield High Street on Tuesday night with a knee brace on. So we can't see that he'll be either on loan or even anywhere near our squad anytime soon. Leo Young, the kid, has gone, the right-footed mid centre backs, right back, has gone on loan today to Havant at Waterlooville. So they obviously feel, even without him, even without one particular defensive player like that, they've got appropriate defensive resources in the ranks, or they are likely to sign
That
more
one,
expensive
with
resources.
that last one, I mean, like he's gone on loan for a month, and I think if we look at it, what the position we're talking about there, that sounds like a Lee Brown coming in, because I don't think that Leo Young needs to get some games in, and Lee Brown's obviously a safer pair of hands in a short period of time. So that could be, if I'm being positive, that might be why that's happened.
I think also because we don't know what our situation is on getting players in, and we're not going to know that until probably the end of August. It might be that he's there for that time, hopefully picks up some experience, but we might actually need him in the squad if we
The
haven't.
obvious, yeah, the obvious player to talk about in terms of who we would wanted to have been a breakthrough player would have been Foyo. The reality is
Oh.
that ban is still pending, but he did play. He did come on second half, played the whole of the second half actually, on Tuesday night, and didn't look, unfortunately, up to speed at all. However, you imagine, and there's another one that Jamie Jealous, the Walsall midfield player, had a very promising season last year as well. He's been charged with even more bets. So there's obviously, unfortunately, sadly, an endemic issue with younger men who have a certain amount of money, it would appear, who are footballers. I'm sure it's not just restricted to football whatsoever. But if we count Foyo out, then the question is, are we counting him out full stop? You know, does he end up with his contract being ripped up, which may sound like a really harsh situation, but if his contract is ripped up, does that then open up an opportunity for someone else? We have appear to have more forwards than anyone else, than any other particular position, but we're not really confident that their position or their the individuals involved, Stevens and Kelly, Bugle and Foyo, are they really the right options? Is Brown a striker? Who knows? I actually thought Kelly looked pretty good, so possibly, although he's not the most obvious young player, I'd put Josh Kelly in that person who's going to break through and actually have a quality season, because he's definitely the one player we have who has out and out pace. And I suspect if he's given an opportunity, and at the moment in pre-season he seems to be being given as much of an opportunity as Matt Stevens, even though Stevens obviously was the top goal scorer last year. But if Kelly's given the opportunity and we create the chances, and that's the key thing, you've got to create enough chances. But if we do create those chances, you'd like to think that Kelly's going to put them away.
Yeah, but we're not going to be creating chances from wide positions at the moment.
We haven't got a player. We haven't got the
No,
players to do so. But yeah, we need those
exactly.
players both.
So, interesting. Anyhow.
It's going to be that quick, fast breaking thing. So we kind of forget that the first half of last season, Omar and Stevens linked up really well. You know, if you, it seems it's a very, very long time ago, but actually they were that kind of link up play. And I think if Omar refined a bit of form, then that could be the way it is, because we're going to be a counter-attacking team. You know, we're not going to be dominating any games. We're not going to be trying to break teams down. It's going to be, you know, trying to sprint through, and that means you need to have a player who can hold the ball up and find that pass that through the defensive gaps. And that may be that that's where you're looking at Omar. Potentially, equally, remember Reeks is very good with that kind of long pass. So, but it does mean that you're looking at Kelly to deliver, because Kelly's definitely got the pace where Stevens hasn't. So, you know, that's the sort of person we need. I still think we need, like we've all been talking about, is that fast, quick lone striker that comes through, and this is his opportunity to kind of play on the break.
Well, someone who can head the ball be quite nice, really.
Well,
Anyhow, listen.
we're not going to be playing that kind of football, are we? Do you know, really? I mean, like, it's going to be breaking. It's not going to be like getting that cross in, because we're not going to have that. We're not going to get in a situation where there's loads of players in the box. I don't think it's going to be that kind of play.
Well,
It's going to be fast.
I think you need someone who is able to hold the ball up. So if you know if we're breaking, you need someone who's going to be able to hold the ball up and knock it on to whoever, Kelly or someone who's fast who can go past, and then that
Breaking
has been
news,
used.
I've got the 442 predictions for League One this season.
Excellent. Excellent. What are we, 15th, 16th, top 7?
23rd or 24th?
So
23rd.
I now I can actually give you that proper kind of like bottom eight that I was talking about, which is of course Doncaster, Bradford, Burton, Mansfield, Exeter, Port Vale, and Northampton, and ourselves. And if you look in all the different previews that Niall flagged up early on, it will be Northampton and Port Vale and Exeter who are generally flagged around those bottom four positions, along with ourselves. So,
And
fourth at
some of the
least
others.
have the grace to only put us 23rd out of 24.
Who's
I'm very
below us?
surprised. I'm always surprised that Bradford are in that, because I think they'd be
Your breath
spending
would be out.
quite a lot. I my tip would be that they might be even pushing for a playoff place.
Just because they're spending quite a lot doesn't necessarily mean, you know. Obviously,
Yeah.
Erfield we know could be good, but equally defensively was never really tested that much. And obviously has not played at a higher level, you know.
Okay, so in that where have they put us?
23rd.
23rd.
23rd. Excellent.
Northampton bottom, Port Vale 22nd. And Port Vale again is an interesting one because
Yeah.
they're a bit of a yo-yo thing. This is a stat actually that I picked out that I messaged you guys earlier on. So I went through and found the list of the EFL League Two playoff winners over the last 10, 15 years or so. And the last 5 years, I've gone back 5 years just to do a bit of research, 6 years, including obviously us as the most recent ones. 2021 season 1920, sorry, season 2020, 19, 2020, Northampton Town won the playoffs and were relegated. Season 2021, Morecambe won them and finished 19th and stayed up. Season 21, 22, the aforementioned Port Vale won them and stayed up. 22, 23, it was Carlisle who managed to catapult the way through, losing and we're getting relegated out of League One and getting straight through and getting relegated out of League Two last season. And then 23, 24, it was Crawley. But again, Crawley's an interesting one to reference because they got promoted as playoff winners, and then by the time this next season had started, they'd basically decimated their team, or the team had been
Yeah.
decimated. There were some loanies in there as well, but the manager left, the manager's not come back, but the team he's come back to are relatively dissimilar to the one that he actually inherited overall. A number of them went to franchise actually and did particularly poorly last season, just took more money. So, what does that tell you? Does that tell you that obviously the playoff winners themselves, because they have less time to be able to work and to be able to plan for the next season, are at a disadvantage? Well, we know that. That's just common sense. Whoever the team is, whatever their resources are. But equally, Crawley themselves were not far off last year. And actually, looking at the different teams that I mentioned there that were relegated, none of them were, you know, 20 points bottom of the table by a good long margin type teams. So it's a long attritional season. I think even the games we lose, we want to make sure that we don't get thumped. We don't clearly want to go to Luton on the first day of the season and get thumped and have a not only a negative goal difference, but then instantly be bottom of the table.
Yeah.
But I think overall, you know, maybe it's misguided optimism because we're Wimbledon fans and we have to be optimistic overall because that's the way we've always been over the years. But within that group of eight that I mentioned, I can see us, you know, keeping our head above water, even if it's 20th out of 24.
There you are. You see, this is positivity. Now, but the main positive thing, obviously, which is going to save our club and everything, is the we talked about at the beginning, the Football Regulator Act, whatever the act is, the football regulation. Niall, can you tell us what is the potential benefit to AFC Wimbledon of this
You know
bill,
what?
of the regulator?
Well, the biggest thing is leveling the whole football system. So, being able to massively overspend is going to be really difficult and not be able to do. You have to have a proper business plan. All the things that we do, that benefit us, are going to be rewarded. All the other clubs who currently don't do those sort of things, that don't have proper governance structures in place, that don't have, that don't really, that routinely overspend, all of those will be pulled back. So our high standards will have to be the new norm. What that means is that all the other clubs that have been basically by busting the system will be changed. Now, the other big thing is that the football, the distribution deal, which is by far and away the most significant thing for us, is now up for being re-looked at, and Fair Game are now working with the leading football experts on potentially looking at what a whole new structure might look like and what that would do. Any new structure will financially benefit a club like AFC Wimbledon because it has to look to incentivize clubs that do good community engagement, that do all the lovely woke things, but also don't overspend and actually are financially sustainable, which we are. So all of those things are likely to be rewarded, and that means that we will get a better deal going forward. But that's what we're working on. We're working on a model, which is really exciting stuff. Been doing quite a lot of work on that this week with a whole load of people. Don't necessarily, they're not quite as radical as I'd like to be, but then, you can't kind of say if your club starts with the letters AFCW, you must get all the money. That wasn't allowed as part of the kind of new financial remit. So, yeah, there is a lot of hope. It's going to take a while for it all to come through. But I do think you're going to see clubs being tighter on their purse strings and being more financially responsible, which for a club that is already financially responsible means that we will be the first time competing on a more level playing field than we ever have.
And when do you expect to see these sort of changes happen? So, like for instance, the big thing is parachute payments. When do you think that sort of conversation, that distribution of wealth conversation, is gonna?
I
When's
think
that gonna happen?
the conversations is happening now.
No, sorry. I mean, when's it gonna?
When it actually had
When's it
be
gonna be
actually put into
implemented?
place, I think you're probably that distribution deal will probably be in place for the start of next, not this season, but the one after, is where I think that will be. The financial regulations about stopping clubs spending the levels they are, that's going to start almost immediately. You're going to see that people being asked to adjust because they're all going to be being under scrutiny straight away. So I think that's where you will see the difference. So there'll be clubs who will be right having to tighten their belts and change the way they operate.
Oh, and what will be the
Equally,
punishment? What will be the punishment if people don't do that?
you can potentially lose your license. But I think what we're looking at is the situation where the distribution deal rewards those clubs that do it right. And that's where you'll see that elements. There'll be I suspect you will see more transfer embargoes on clubs. You'll see more of that, and that's probably more likely to be the case. And certainly, when you're looking at squad salary caps, I think will come in, and I think that'll also benefit us. So I'd expect to see that particular model in place in some form during the season.
Okay. So, things are going to get better there. So we're going to be, so when we talk about spend, do we, because obviously owners can put money into the, to a club. So,
Yeah, so that
yeah.
this is like to, what is being discussed is what proportion of the money that an owner puts in can be spent on players' wages and player transfers. And that percentage is being talked about and negotiated now. Bit of a weird one because there are different rules in each division. So I've been speaking to Mick Buckley about this, and obviously Wimbledon are advocating that a 40% cap is put on that. So that's the most that we spent on players' wages and stuff like that. That would mean that, say, the new money that we just got from John Green, only 40% of that would be available for players' wages and player transfers, and 60% would go into capital expenditure, kind of investment programs, and so on. So for us, you'd be looking at more money on potentially looking at doing the East Stand or stuff like that.
Okay, or community pro, or like academy work and all those sort of things.
Yeah.
Okay, so football is genuinely more sustainable.
Or actually, and this is one of the other things that I would actually say is really important, is actually higher paid and more backroom staff at the club.
Yeah, which also would be really important for us. Okay, thank you. Thank you. And great work, Nye. It's an act, which is brilliant. I think I'd just like to, there's some ARBs, some other bits and bobs just to finish on. And I'm looking for us to take credit for this, even though I don't think we can at all. But in our last episode, we had a wonderful interview with Ashley Hinks, legend and top goal scorer. And she was talking about finding a boot sponsor. I'm pleased to say that she now has a boot sponsor. So, which is great news. And they had a pre-season midweek, and naturally Ashley scored. So friend of the show, Ashley Hinks has a boot sponsor, scored a goal in midweek in a 2-0 victory. So that is brilliant. Also noticed that one of our keenest supporters, Paul Stank, is funding the South Stand. So their logo is going to be on the South Stand, which is brilliant. They're a lovely family organisation who are big supporters of the club. There's the season launch event on the 29th of July down at the ground, and then on the 30th of July, the day after, there's a Meet the Squad event, a family friendly event at Morden Park, 6 p.m. Chance to see the playoff winning team and the trophy as well. So that'd be good to get down there. In DTB news, so those who haven't been paying attention on this, they're now looking for two new members. Adam isn't here, but don't put that in there because I don't think he's going to go for it. But they're looking for two new members, temporary members who will be in place until November, till the AGM this year, when there's going to be Don's elections as well.
Obviously, Matt needs to go for it because on this trio that we have here, Matt's the only one who hasn't experienced that joy.
No, but also, I still have some of my sanity intact. And I don't think,
What Matt realizes, of course, is he much prefers being on a podcast than actually being on the DTB. So.
yeah, man, I prefer this is much more fun. And I think, Mark, I think you're feeling that as well. What would you prefer, the DTB or the SOW?
I genuinely, I gen, I mean, I saw something online where people were basically calling out DTB members and ex-DTB members. At least that's the way I read it. If they
Yeah.
trying to call them out, that's the way I read it. To say, did they have fun while they were on there? Was it great? What would they recommend? What comments would they make or advice would they give for people? And what I would generally say is it's right for certain people at certain times in terms of their life, in terms of their career, in terms of their private life, whatever. It was right for me at the time. I had the time and the engagement and the opportunity, whatever. Personally, right now, I've got a much more pressing and challenging and exciting and interesting job. So I wouldn't have the time to do anything like that anymore. But there will be other people who will have time and opportunity. And I can think of one or two, that I might sort of have a word with when I see them in the new season as well, who are Wimbledon fans, who I'm sure. Irrespective as to what their knowledge is or what their background is, although the DTB naturally are after certain particular skills. But if they're Wimbledon fans, they have common sense and they have opportunity and they have time to be able to engage and make that commitment, then I think they'd be an asset overall. So I'd encourage anyone and everyone who would describe themselves like that to fit in and put themselves forward. And I'm sure,
Excellent.
the likes of James
Absolutely. I
Longhurst,
would.
for example, who was someone that wasn't involved in any activity whatsoever, any volunteering, and then stepped out when I was on the board and we co-opted him and has now been an integral part of things, then he'd tell you that it's a very, very worthwhile activity.
Well, I
That's, I've,
all power to you.
I was just going to say, I'd like to see a couple of women on the board. To be honest, that would be a couple more women. That would be something I think to balance it out a little bit more. That would be my preference because it can get a bit testosterone, and we would do with that a little bit more difference and diversity on the board. That's what I would personally like to see. And I would also strongly say to any incoming person, stay on social media.
Yeah,
They're off social media.
stay off social media. I mean, and we're on social media because we like to promote our stuff as wide as we can, and even the little bits of stick we get are it's not nice. And I think all podcasts, all women podcasts, that people get bits and bobs of stick. Hey, whatever rocks your boat, man. The other thing to say on DTB news is there is the SGM on the 11th of August, and I think primarily that is voting on the investment from John Green. So, and at the event on the 11th of August, there's also going to be a chat with Aaron Paul as well, so who's a lovely guy. So get along and do that. And then the last bit of news that I've seen that's come through on social media and up on the website as well. is that you can get 43% off Carabao drinks. Wow, that's the sort of information I want my club to be sharing. 43% off. Yes, get yourself 43% off Carabao. Who's drinking this rubbish? Good grief. But yeah, don't share that.
It's as though it's part of the sponsorship deal package, Matt. As though it's something that they have to just do. That's what it is.
I know that. I know that. But really, when something drops on you, and when you haven't signed a player for like a trillion years, and you're hearing all these rumours and whatever it is, and the next bit of news that you get is either, I can understand this, but either can you put some more money in the club, or you can get 43% off flipping Carabao drinks.
This way, Matt, if you're a massive consumer of Haribo, right, huge consumer, and you're saving 43%, you can put that all in the club. It's like a perfect circle.
That's right.
Clearly,
Use your saving.
fan engagement strategy at the moment is targeting those big consumers of Haribo drinks, which there must be
Yeah.
loads
Yeah.
in Southwest London, loads and loads of
You
them. That's what they're doing.
use
And
your
now they can
Carabao.
also use your Haribo savings. Dear listener, use your Carabao saving and invest in the
Yeah,
club.
that's right.
That's what makes South London wonderful, does it? That we have people like Carabao.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I
Dear me.
kind of think there might not be many Carabao drinkers in Southwest London. Just putting it out there.
That's it. Anyhow, well, as we always say, if you can donate, you can donate. If you can't, don't. We're all part of the same old crazy Wimbledon experience. It's
I
going to
thought for a minute, if
be
you thought, I thought you said, and if you can't, then drink Carabao.
the
That's what
drink
I thought you almost were
Carabao.
saying.
Yeah, the drink Carabao.
I know we're looking for a sponsor potentially for this podcast, but Carabao, I'm afraid I have to turn down.
I think, they're definitely looking for us. It's going to be one hell of a ride this season coming up, and it all starts next Friday, 1st of August.
Am I
Come
the only
on.
one that's going to make a prediction, by the way, before you close out?
Oh, mate, you can make a bit. You're the only one because you know that me and Niall don't do it because it's a thing. We've never done it. We don't do it. You can make a prediction, my friend.
Well, I made it already that I think we'll finish 20th.
That's the prediction, is it?
Yeah, I think we'll finish
It's.
20th. I think our top goal scorer will be
Joe Lewis.
Greaves.
no. Our top goal scorer will be Omar Bugal with 8 goals.
Eight. Blimey.
Lots of people will score lots of goals, but
Yeah.
no one will score more than eight.
Right.
The breakthrough player this season will be Kai Jennings. There you go. That's the three things I'm going for.
Okay, then. So at the end of the season, we can rewind to this bit and just go, this is where what Mark thought. 20th.
Can point out that one of us actually had the bravery to put his stick his neck out. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Well, we'll it's the same old one was podcast prediction. We're just putting our money on you. You could be the
I
person.
don't, Matt. I'm not doing that. I'm not even predicting when we finish. I don't mind predicting top goal scorer. I think top goal scorer, Josh Kelly with five.
Josh.
That's how positive we're feeling, eh?
A breakthrough player of the year. Well, I'm not going to say Lee Brown because I think that would be really amusing. Breakthrough player. I think actually, I know. I think Hippolyte, because he hasn't played a proper whole full season, so I think he'll be our star player.
I would say,
That doesn't count though, because breakthrough really should be a youngster.
I'm going to have the same player as my top goal scorer and breakthrough is Kelly. I think Kelly gets 10 goals, and he just something sparks in him, and he's our man. 10 goals, and he's our breakthrough player, Josh Kelly. So who knows? Either that or it's Joe Lewis with four, one or t'other. But coming back to it now, it is going to be a crazy, weird old season. It kicks off next week, 1st of August, and we're going to run all the way through and let's see what happens. Get on board. Come on, you Dons. We're the same old Wombles. We're back.